Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Josh from Freelance Videographer London. You listen to the Us People podcast with Xavier Rocks.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Us People podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Rocks, and today I'm humbled enough to have Josh Cawthorn here with me, who is a freelance videographer. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey. How you doing? You good?
I'm not too bad. I must say,
Xavier,
Josh,
this is cool. Yeah. I love what you do. It's wicked. It's so cool.
Thank you for writing back to me. I think you've been one of the most enthusiastic people I've ever had on the podcast because you were ready from day dot when I said let's do this. You were like, can we do it now?
You know what it's like when the iron's hot, you gotta strike, you know.
Oh,
what I mean,
definitely.
It's such a quick game that we're in, and you just gotta go, haven't you? You can't wait around too long.
So I know you've been really humble in the sense of how you've said things to me when we were conversating over email or WhatsApp. And when I done my research about you and I was reading what you sent me, I didn't realize that you had done so much. So let me tell people a little bit about you, because I do want to tell them about you. So Josh, you have won multiple awards. So you are a multiple award winning videographer. Yeah. You've worked with Nike, Bentley's, Team Sky.
Yeah.
You've worked on Madagascar. You've worked with, is it Beyonce as well?
Yeah, I worked with Beyonce and Jay-Z before.
See?
husband and wife.
husband and wife team. You've worked with the husband and wife team. So you've done so much. And actually you have, if I'm correct, you're based in West Nine, which is not far from me.
Yeah, we're neighbours, baby.
We're neighbours. Ah, so you're not far from the Notting Hill crew area.
Perfect.
So I should pop in and say hi one day, because I didn't realise you were that. I didn't realise that you were that close.
Look, we're neighbours. It's just this lockdown thing is just difficult now, isn't it? But it will ease up soon. So happiness.
No, that makes perfect sense. So let me jump into the questions with you. So
tell
us a little bit about how you started or where you grew up. And what influenced you to actually start being a videographer?
So I'm not from London originally. I'm from Bristol.
Okay.
And I sort of knew I wanted to do it when I was little, when we used to go on little family holidays to Spain. And I just remember seeing all these beautiful images of like the beach and whatnot. And I used to love listening to music. And I was sort of at the time just, you know, creating my own music videos in my head, and this is when I was a kid, so Peter Andre was like in trend then. And I remember listening to Mysterious Girl, boom boom boom, and like I was like, right, this is it. And I remember like I borrowed my dad's video camera and I stuck like the headphones of my Walkman, this is how old I am, Walkman, to the side of the camera, and then I pressed playback on the Walkman, and then hit record at exactly the same time, and I'd go around and I'd get a shot like that, and then I'd like hit both on the stop and both on the record at the same time, bang, and then I put it together, it looked rubbish, but there was me like age 7 or whatever thinking this would be cool to capture this and create content, do you know what I mean? So it might sound like a bit of a faffy like la 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 kind of story, but it's true.
And your story is your story, that's what makes you unique.
That's it, that's my story. I was going to go in a bit deeper then about being vulnerable and whatnot, but we don't need to go that far. It's passionate, you know, like when you're passionate about something, like you take it so personally, like don't you? So
definitely.
For that reason you become quite available to fail in some ways, you know what I mean? Like if someone says, oh, that looks crap, then it's a little bit harder to hear it when you're sort of creative.
How do you take it with the whole criticism if someone turns around and says that's not good?
Well, this is it now. I've grown up a lot now since I was seven. So plus no one ever says my stuff's crap. No, it's you got to separate your creative work and your you got to separate your personal life and your work life. You know, it's,
that's true.
When someone says it's crap, they're not saying that you're crap. They're just saying that they don't like what you what you're creating, and you've got to separate what you're creating to who you are.
So, what's the difference between being a videographer and kind of like doing other things? Because I know you're not just necessarily a videographer. I know you do other things as well.
So for me, I work as a director, and I direct like documentary content, branded content, commercial content, as in like TV ads, and TV stuff. So that's the thing there. And then obviously I do the videography thing, so the self-shooting thing.
Yeah,
that falls into some of the directing work sometimes. And you know, I'm lucky now to that it's a career, but at the start, for sure, it was a bit touch and go. So I was having to sort of hustle every other way that I could.
Yeah,
because it's all a hustle at the end of the day. And you know, it's lucky that I get to call it just my job now. But there was a time, if you'd asked me like a few years back, I'd probably say it's my job. But deep down, I'd be like, you know, getting it anywhere else I could, you know.
No, that makes sense. It's hard. It's a hard industry to be in. It's not easy.
It isn't. Like, it was harder. It's getting easier. You know what I mean? Like,
is it getting easier because you're getting more established? Sure.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about like the game as a whole. The demand for video is going up and 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 up. You know, for especially in the branded content world, in music videos, everything, like, it's just go. Like, you know, you're for a brand, like, a video is your shop front. You know, like, having a video is everything that you are, like,
yeah.
So the demand is just going up and up and up and up and up. You know, as long as there's going to be internet, the demand is going to go up, right? Like, it's and so therefore it's like, it's so much easier now than it was, and it's going to get easier and easier and easier because the demand is going to get more and more and more. So before, you'd be fighting like, you know, 10 people fighting over one job. In a few years' time, okay, there's going to be more people, but I just feel like,
Your game would have been up.
Say again?
Sorry? Your game would have been up, because even though people are coming in, you've got 10 more years' experience than they do.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, we're not going to fight for the same things, you know. True. Like, we're going to be, yeah, there's always competition, like, no matter where you are on the ladder, but the stuff I'm going to be fighting for is going to be with the same, like, caliber of people, and you know what I mean, like the same range of, like,
yeah. No, that makes sense.
I've been doing it 10 years in the game, so a long time now. So a year ago, I probably wouldn't have gone into battle with someone of 10 years experience and major clients like that. It's just not worth it. But then the money's different too, you know. So, you know, with big jobs comes big responsibility, and that requires like proper experience. You know, you wouldn't go and be a mechanic on a car in Formula One if you were just a rookie and beginning out. You know, it's just the same as anything else like that. And there's nothing wrong with starting, man. Everyone's got to start somewhere. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with being a beginner videographer at all. In fact, it's great. But you just got to say you're a beginning videographer and not try and, well, do what you want. You just fail hard in the bigger stuff if you take it on and you're not experienced enough. I've learned that lesson so many times, man.
What inspires you?
Saying you can do something and not doing it properly because you're not experienced enough. You know?
No, that's true. And that's kind of... What inspires you to do what you do, Josh? Because I must admit, you're very enthusiastic. You come across very enthusiastic. Like, this is what I do. I'm passionate about it. I love what I do. So what drives you to stay inspired about what you do?
Thank you. I think what inspires me? I don't know. I just love it. You know, I'm so lucky that I found a job that I love. I just get buzzed from the experiences, like, you know, working with great talent, working with very talented people and then creating something which you can then show people, like, you know, it's like being a little mini artist, you know, like you sort of make something and then you go like, check this out. Someone says to you like, what did you do like last month? You can just whip out your phone and go like, check this out. And like, it's great, you know, like it's cool. I've just got to try and stay on the nice, don't want to sound too showy-offy, like, because like when I do a big one, it's like, even I'm like, whoa, that is amazing. I'm proud of myself that I've overachieved or whatever. And then you just got to try and keep your feet on the ground because all my mates would just be like, shut up, you're tired. Excuse my French.
I love it.
Her name is Beyonce or whatever.
How was it working with Beyonce? How did that even come about?
I was the second assistant director on it. You know, she's such a great, great person to work with. She's in control fully. She's got, you know, she's her own art director. She's her own wardrobe designer. She does like so much of her own stuff. So, and I've never really worked with someone like that. Like often you have a art director that will just do the art bits and then the prop person will just do that. And the choreographer will do that, where she's just like everything. She's like this. And so she's very, very focused and like, because she's so on it, everyone else is just like a game, like straight up, like, you know, you don't want to make a massive mistake in front of her when she's like juggling so many things. And it's actually quite inspiring in some ways because, you know, I hear like one of the main things that bugs me is like wearing too many hats, being too many things, doing this, doing that, like a million jobs. But I look at her and it's like, she's totally cool with it. Okay, yeah, her life is stressful, but she's that for me is like success. Like, look at that, pow. Like, I'm like... So yeah, every time I freak out a bit, I just sort of look at her and think, yeah, she's managing fine. She does a lot. She works very hard, like very, very hard.
What would you class your videographer style as to be? So how would you describe your style compared to somebody else's?
So I like to sort of throw a documentary sort of edge to what I'm doing. I love trying to tell stories, like real human stories.
Yeah.
At this moment in time. So that's my style. It lends itself quite well to the self-shooting videography stuff. But I'm still developing as a director for sure. But the freelance videographer London site is all about just trying to get in videographers and trying to just get the right work for the right people. So that's sort of agency's thing that's just separate if you want to, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Tell me about Freelance Videographer London.
Oh yeah, so I'm so glad you asked. Thank you. So yeah, Freelance Videographer London is it's a little boutique agency, and we represent young and talented videographers. So it's just a platform basically for people to get on, and you know we can find them the right work and stuff. So if you're looking for work as a videographer, head up Freelance Videographer London.
Take me through the process of how you do your videography every day. Because I know it's a different process for you. So take me through like a typical day, because you can be working with a corporate client, say for instance, and then you could be working with someone like Beyonce and Jay-Z. So take me through the process of how you do things and what equipment you use to help people like them understand how difficult it is, but how fun it is at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it totally depends on each gig. You're right, it does range quite a lot. It can be like... a corporate thing, be quite serious and safe and stuff, and then the next day it can be something really fun like a video, a music video, and travel and whatnot. And so yeah, it's there's quite a lot of process that goes into it. Like for me, when the phone rings, I've got to straight away find out, do I know the person, what are they like, and where are they calling from.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's a corporate person, I straight away I put on my sort of corporate tie, so to speak, and I, you know, and I think like, okay, this is they don't want to hear about Beyonce, they don't want to hear about any of this creative stuff, you know. So I need to be aware of like what they are looking for and not give them too much of that. And sometimes, you know, if I were to mention all the like fun stuff, it kind of makes me look like a not corporate person, you know. So you but just gotta
I know
gotta
it's hard. Do you like find that hard almost. Do you find that hard, because you have such a I can feel like you have such a beautiful personality, and it shines, everyone's personality shines through them, And you can always tell a lot about a person by how they talk, how passionate they are. So when you're dealing with corporate clients, I have to deal with corporate clients all the time. Do you feel like you have to dim your personality to suit them sometimes?
No, absolutely not. Everyone has a personality. There's no point trying to be someone else or do something else. For me, like, I feel... Okay, so corporate world, serious stuff. Like, you know, it's all just about not chatting the whole time and just when the time is right, just maybe say something fun or whatever. But not to be like a clown and not to be like a... This is my thing when I was at school. I always used to get called the class clown. so, like, you know, but I've learned that along the way. Before, when I was starting out, I was all about being visible, you know, and then I sort of quickly learn in a corporate environment, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. No, you can say say how you feel. That's the whole point of this podcast. You have to say how you feel.
Yeah, but that again, I think that just comes with a bit of experience, and it's a tough world because no one really... I never really had a mentor when I was growing up. So if anyone wants to contact me about being a mentor, I'd gladly do it.
You hear that, guys?
Because there's so much that, you know, that no one can really tell you apart from life experience. Like,
yeah, that's true. I agree with you.
And sometimes not saying anything is quite powerful in itself. You know, this is I talk the whole time, but in a filming environment, especially when it's quite a sensitive topic that you're talking about, you know, it might not be sensitive to me, but you know, the person that's in the chair, especially if they're not like a talented interviewer, as in they've never interviewed before, they might be nervous, they might be really scared, they might be extremely intimidated, big cameras, big lights.
Yeah.
So in that moment, you've just got to really be calm and be very, very sensitive. It's a working environment after all, you know. If you walk into a WeWork or whatever, everyone's pretty quiet, everyone gets on with stuff. You know, just because there's a big camera, which people get excited about, but you know, that doesn't mean that it's party time. Unless, of course, you're working with Beyonce, in which case maybe there's party.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother level.
What
equipment do you bring with you, Josh, when you go out? Or does it depend? Obviously, I know it might depend on a shoot that you're doing on a particular day, but on a normal shoot, like say you're doing a music video, I just want to give people an example of what you actually do. What kind of equipment would you bring out with you?
Again, it depends on the story. Like, it depends on the brief. Before the equipment, you've got to think about the idea. So for a music video, so someone comes out to me, hey Josh, like, we've got this idea, we want to turn it into a video. Then what I'll do is I'll write up, I'll think of an idea, then I'll draw a real quick storyboard just to sort of see how it looks. And then I'll show it to the artist. If they're happy with the way it's going and stuff, often they might just want to change it totally. They might want to just move it a bit. They might want to shape it here, there, whatever. Once it's solid and locked, then we think about the kit. So the idea could be that, you know, we have a crazy drone flying around in crazy locations. Like, you know, that could incorporate. So we need a drone for that reason. And then, or we need a slow motion camera, something that can do like super slow motion for something. Then that's a different thing. Maybe it's a smooth gimbal. Smooth gimbals are great. You know, it makes everything smooth and lovely. Yeah. They're often quite powerful. It might be handheld. And then basically, if I don't own it, I'll rent it. A lot of the time you can rent stuff very cheaply. You know, if you go to Fat Llama, have you heard of Fat Llama?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, definitely.
It's amazing. Like, you can get anything you want. Like,
they wanted me to put my camera stuff up there to sell it. Is not to sell it, to rent it out to people as well.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got, so say you want to use a Red Epic. That's like an amazing camera. That's a kind of like Beyonce level thing. So like, you want to use one of those, or an Alexa Mini, for instance. Like, you know, those cameras are very expensive. What are they, 65 grand or something for the whole package? Like, you know, who has that?
That's heaven. So right there.
Your Fat Llama, that's like 150, 200 a day to rent or whatever. Like, okay, that's quite a lot of money for something low budget. But, you know, maybe it's not. Like, maybe you can make that happen if you explain to the client, look, we can have the same camera that Beyonce used. Look, we can do this. It's going to look like this. And it will look like that because those cameras are sick.
I know what to get like, you for Christmas.
They can see in the dark. That'd be lovely. So yeah, like that's it. Like, but if you're going in at a smaller level, I guess, like if you're doing stuff with your phone and stuff like that, you just got to know, you just got to be in control of it. Like, there's tons of advice out there about how to shoot on your phone. Just get hot on it. Just know what you're doing. Yeah. Be in control of it, and then you won't have any surprises. You know, when it comes to it, and something happens, you know, like. That's what it's all about, control. Like it's the same with photography. Like the more control you have, the better your photos or video will be. Like secure locations, like places where you kind of know you'll be allowed to film. It's not going to be shut down after 10 minutes and, you know, cause a big havoc scene or whatever. Just being like in control of everything is where it's at.
What do you do when you feel uninspired, Josh? How do you build up your creativity again?
I try and go off social media.
That's a good idea, actually.
I try and not look at other people that are winning if I'm not winning, because that's quite tough. You know, when it's a bit quiet, the phone hasn't rung for a while, and then you flick up one of your mates who's in God knows where, Los Angeles, filming, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and then it's like, so for me, I just try and, if I'm not feeling inspired, I just try and not look for inspiration through other means, you know, like, because that just doesn't make you feel good, like, you know.
Have you ever been in that place where you feel like you do want to give up on what you're doing, or you do feel low?
Oh yeah, the whole time, man. Like the way I see it is like, as soon as you're about to tie the noose, the phone rings.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I've heard someone else say that to me too.
It's how it works. It, you know, if you choose to do a career that you absolutely love, then you've got to accept that there's going to be some kickback on the other side. Yeah, like it always does. And then you know what? When it rains, it pours, and like, you know, it's that. It's the I think the key is not to get too excited when the phone rings in the first place.
Yeah.
Just to kind of ride it out. Like, you know, this, it's just a pencil. It's not a confirmation. It might go away. Maybe not. Like, you know, it's a. Yeah.
tell me a little bit about the industry, Josh. Describe the industry, the TV, movies, YouTube, brands, commercials, corporate. I know you know a lot about these things.
Yeah. So okay, so there's a load of work out there for videographers or people that want to get in the video film industry.
Yeah.
There's a lot. So obviously let's start at the high budget stuff. So like the high drama, high movies, as in high budget. So, you know, you've got Warner Brothers Studio, you've got Pinewood Studio, Shepperton Studios. Those have all the massive large stages, places where they shoot James Bond, places where they do, you know, they did all the Harry Potters, and they'll continue to do the next run of that stuff. And obviously all the Netflix stuff, like, so that is like the high-end drama world. That is an exciting world to be in. I started off doing little bits and bobs on there, in that world rather, in those big studios. And I tell you what, it's electric. It's so exciting. You know, you want to see what 150 million quid looks like. You know, you can go to, you can work on that stuff and work with the big players like the Roger Deakins, the, you know, the serious directors, the Ridley Scotts, the world. And you know, the London is a really exciting place for that, because so I'm told a lot of those stages, maybe not now during this COVID thing, but before, all those stages were full on those studios. There was like, there's a lot of work there for everyone. And in that world, obviously you've got a lot of departments for lots of different things. But for someone starting out as a runner, there is a lot of work there. And if you get on something like that as a starter upper, you're winning. That's a good like 7-8 months of work, solid. You get to learn from the best. But once you've done 6 months or 7 months, get out. Because before you know it, you'll be making tea for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Move up. Yeah, you need to get in and get out, because you're never going to climb from runner to director and then move on working as a crew member. You're just not. You climb up to third AD, and then third AD, second AD, first AD. That's assistant director, and that's not and then you'll never be given a script as a director ever. Yeah. Anyway, so I went off on a bit of a rant on that one.
That's all right.
High drama. Yeah, and then there's the TV world. It's the same as in big unit stuff, but it's a lot smaller budget. So, like, you know, the EastEnders, the Corries, all those sort of jobs. There's a lot of work there. It's extremely exciting if you want to do that. Again, less money, ITV, BBC and stuff, but they look after you really well, and it's a really good place to learn and grow. Then you've got, what is it, sort of the branded content, YouTube-y, self-shootery world,
yeah,
which is where I'm sort of at. It's really exciting. The videography world, this is it. And this is the exciting place. This is where you actually get to make your own stuff. Running around with the camera yourself and creating your own showreel is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So it's great to work on the bigger stuff. It's really exciting there, and you do learn a lot. But ultimately, if you want to be a filmmaker or a videographer, it's all about your showreel. No one cares if you've worked with so-and-so, or it was a £150 million film or whatever. They just don't care. They just want to see what you can make.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the dosh. And then there's things like music videos and commercials, which I do a little bit of as well. Commercials have larger budgets than music videos. There is a lot of cool music videos being made in London, like officially through the crew routes. But if my advice would be, like, if you want to make music videos, just go and make them. Don't be a runner on a big set. No, you can. I just, it's just not much money and stuff. It's like, yeah.
Oh, dear. How important is it for being a videographer now during lockdown compared to large production companies? Or how is it for you at the moment?
Oh, yeah, it's great. We've all seen the news about how ITV are doing crew separation and, yes, and like skeleton crews and all that stuff. But really, like, how does a makeup artist put on makeup to someone? Like, how does a sound recordist apply a lapel microphone to your chest? Like, how do you ignore that rule? Like, so, like, for me, like, the big dramas, all those things are just, they're never gonna, well, who knows? They're not looking great, are they? They're not. So if you're a videographer and you can do stuff yourself, you're winning, aren't you? Like, you know, yeah, you're straight away, you're a skeleton crew. Straight away, you're more employable, because who wants to pay a load of people just to sit around and be safe and, you know, not do anything?
is it better working for yourself, or is it better working for a company?
Ooh. Good question. Good question. It's always good to work for companies you like and companies that you adore.
Mm-hmm.
Again, places like BBC, MTV, they have a very good sort of academy, and you can learn an awful lot, especially if you want to work for, okay, so if there's a brand that you really like, or an artist, a musician that you really like,
yeah,
then, like, go up to them and be like, hey, I want to work for you. Like, I want to, and if that works out, then you're winning. Like, you're great. It all just depends what you want to do, really. Having a company or being a part of a company has a lot of stability as well. Having a guaranteed payroll is quite essential and exciting for people. Obviously, when you're on your own, you're a little bit more vulnerable,
yeah,
especially for the money things. So be on your own if you want to be on your own.
No, that's fair enough.
I always have that battle in my head. And
oh, you have, I don't know if it's, who wins? What is it? Is it always being by yourself that wins, or is it?
Well, I've never gone in house. I've never gone full time, so I'm balanced. You know, I'm good.
See, you're not too bad. How would you say, yeah, you push your boundaries for yourself when it comes to working with people and working by yourself, or pushing? Basically, just pushing you and pushing them. So I know you've gone a level up. Like, say, for instance, you worked with Beyonce, you worked on Madagascar, you work for Nike. But how do you now raise the bar to that, to push yourself even more for yourself and the people around you?
Sorry, I don't really understand. What was...
So say, for instance, right, you've set yourself a goal, right? Yeah. to say that you want to be able to work for this person, and you got, you achieved it. Yeah. So how do you push your boundaries to work even harder to raise the bar for yourself?
I see. So I mean, the limit, you just got to set your limit to a high peak. Like,
yeah,
my goal was never like work with Beyonce, done, throw the towel in, like, or earn a certain amount and then think, wow, this is great. I think when you're ambitious, you just keep on going, don't you?
Because
when you win, you just get an amazing feeling, and I guess it's just chasing that feeling again and again and again. If you really want to, you know, I did this thing with Theo Pathetus, you know, the guy who used to be in The Apprentice. Theo Pathetus, he was on The Apprentice, not The Apprentice, The Dragon's Den. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's I did a thing with him, and it was like a corporate thing. And I walked into the room, and he was like, "Hi, Josh." And I was like, "Oh, hi, Theo." And he was like, he asked me a question. He was like, "Are you the best at what you do?" Oh, and I was it took me right back, because not only was I sort of a little bit starstruck because he's you know, famous and whatnot, but the question was so direct.
Yeah.
Are you the best at what you do? And it felt a little bit of a like harsh one, because I had to think about that. And I was like, okay, as a film director, I've never won a BAFTA or an Oscar, not yet. Does that make me, do you know what I mean? And it was quite a tricky one. And it kind of spun me out a bit. And then the reason why he asked it was because someone asked him, why do you keep going? And he says, I just ask myself every day when I wake up in the morning, am I the best at what I do? And that's why he keeps going, I guess, because he's probably not the best at everything. So, do you know what I mean?
No, that makes sense. I think some people need a push or a kick, or I don't know. Some people feel like they're not doing as much as they should be doing in order for them to get to where they want to be. And everybody, and that's this is where my next question comes in for you. This is where I ask you to define what success means to you, because everybody has a different definition of what success means to them and how it can push and pull them in different places. So for me, Josh, if I was to ask you, what does success mean to you? What would you say to me?
I guess ultimately it's just remaining happy. I know that sounds really lame, because money is obviously very important.
Not at all.
But to be in a place where I can, like, hand in my heart, say that I love my job and I get really excited about it, and then earn just enough to be comfortable and to keep the wife happy and whatnot, like, that's it. Obviously, I'd love to take it a step further and, like, make her really happy by earning more money, but, like, money's never really been the goal for me.
Which is good. I'm glad you said that, actually.
She would hate that if I ever heard me.
She's why?
Like, what about my trips to Saint-Tropez? Because I've got some friends of mine that, you know, earn a lot of money and really do, like, live the city life and travel and rah. And like, could they put their hands on their hearts and say that they love their jobs? Like, really? And look, you spend like, what is it? Like a third of your life asleep, a third of your life like happy, and then the other third of your life at work, right? For me, it's like, I'm already asleep for a massive chunk of it. I want to live the best life that I can when I'm awake. Come on. Like,
damn. If there was one film or one music video that you would say best represents you, what would you choose? What artistic video would you choose represent?
It's got to be my own stuff. You've just got to check out my site.
I love that.
I've got to represent myself there. I'm afraid it sounds lame, but my films speak about me, and they are me. So they'll get better and better as I go.
Of course, that's what life's about.
So yeah, you'll see my link in the bio, so check it out.
Definitely, guys, check it out. Okay, well, at the end we'll make him say all his social media, but we're not quite at the end yet. So
sorry.
So we've gone through you defining what success means to you, which you actually gave me a really good answer.
Oh,
as well. But what's
not the wife answer?
No. I want the Josh answer, not the wife answer.
It's just exciting. So yeah, it's all of that. It's the good stuff, you know. Yeah. It's the stuff that makes you really shine and glow. Like that's the one.
You know, you have one of those silent moments where everything goes silent and you know you're really thinking about what you're doing and how it makes you feel. That's pretty cool. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, Josh, what do you think you would be doing?
For me, probably doing something with food, maybe.
Ooh.
I just love eating food. Who doesn't? Yeah, it's like true. One of the best pleasures. And like food and music is like what life's all about, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And I get to do a bit of work in both of those sectors. And, you know, when are they going to open Nando's? That's what I want to know.
I do miss a Nando's. I do miss a Nando's. Oh man, what advice would you give to people out there, or fans or followers? Because I know some people say I ain't got fans, but we all do, but we may just not know. What advice would you give to your fans or your followers out there to help them get into the industry and to be able to give them some positive advice about support and not worrying about going for your dream?
Yeah. Reach out to me. Get in touch with me. I'll help you out whenever I can, obviously. Don't be afraid to do it. Just don't be caught up on it. If you want to be a videographer, just make yourself as visible as you can. Don't worry if it doesn't feel good, if it feels a bit uncomfortable. If you want to do it, just do it. That sounds obvious, but for ages, when I was starting out, I was a little bit worried about what I was going to look like, and you know, because so much of it is sort of who you are as a person these days. And you know, a lot of people do it by actually sort of vlogging themselves a lot of the time now, and have been doing for a while. And it's and if you're not comfortable doing that, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to look like the other people. But what you do have to do is have a good showreel and have a strong presence, right? If you've got a CV to match, even better. Just being confident, you know, saying that I am a videographer rather than saying I'm a videographer.
Do that again, Josh.
Because if you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe you? You know,
no,
someone's going to give you some money to do something. You got to earn it. You got to be
that makes sense. So finally, I want you to plug, okay? When I say this question, where can we find you, Josh, if we want to get in contact with you?
Freelance Videographer London. Just type Freelance Videographer London into Google and you'll see it. We're looking for young, exciting, fresh talent. We're looking for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, great, even better. You know, everyone, get in touch. We have a lot of work coming in, and it's sort of too much to handle. So if you want to get some stuff, and we'll find the right stuff for you. And we have all kinds of people, from animators down to directors of photography, cinematographers. We'll take you on if you're good, so get in touch.
Perfect. What about social media? Tell us about you on social media too.
Yeah, check me out, Freelance Videographer London on Instagram. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I know that's really dull, but I need to get some more subscribers.
No, plug it, honey. Plug it.
Subscribe at Freelance Videographer London, please.
That's perfect.
And do get in touch, everyone, if you want to reach out, because no one did it for me, and I'm here for the team.
Oh, trust me, I understand it. Trust me, I understand it. Josh, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Yes People podcast. You've been epic, trust me.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
Gosh, okay, Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the Us People podcast. And as always, please remember you can subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or any platform that you prefer to listen to. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also remember you can donate to the Us People podcast so we can continue to interview lovely people like Josh, who's here with us. And please also remember you can do it through paypal.me/Us People podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay happy, stay positive, and continue to be kind to one another.